Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
James chapter 4. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? Just pause there. Here's a little side note. Those of us who are blaming someone else for the quarrel, we need to look at ourselves first. Because is it not maybe what's in you that's causing you to quarrel and be at war with someone? In other words, they offended me, they hurt me, therefore I am going to argue with them. Get it? I heard one person say I get it, so okay. You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. In other words, out of our frustration, we take that as an open gate to conduct ourselves less than what is right. I was on the phone yesterday, and I can say this because the people that this involves are not from this area or in this church or this community. Got a call from a couple children, early adolescents, pre-adolescents. She called and she said, I know you're aware of what my husband and I have gone through, and there's been some unfaithfulness in their marriage, and they've tried to repair and not repair and back and forth and just that whole road of struggle, and they are not yet divorced. Papers have been served, and he is a result of her, in his mind, as a result of her unfaithfulness, he's already seeing someone. And because of her unfaithfulness, it's easy for him to justify, well, now it's okay for me. And that's one scenario of how we look at it. Like when we read this in the scripture, where it says, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your own passions. But just prior to that, what I read, you desire and do not have, so you murder, you covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it in your own passions. That out of all of this frustration, we can take license to act uncomely, so to speak, because we're not satisfied or we've been hurt, and so therefore we change the rules for ourselves. And the problem is within us. Regardless of what his wife has done, it doesn't provide him license before it's time to start a relationship with somebody else. And we can do, and we can look at that and go, oh, that's terrible. But, you know, the same principles at work maybe on what we think is a lesser scale of our own life when we are frustrated with something and we feel hurt or offended, that we take that now as license, as if the principle or the rules have changed for me to go do something else that normally I wouldn't do if I'm in my right mind. Unbroken. And so you and I need to be aware of when frustration in our own hearts and minds and through circumstances, that we don't start to go down the road of justification to do things we think will make us happy before it is right. He says, you adulterous people, Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Please don't take this out of context like you need to go and live as a hermit in your home and not let your light shine. We're supposed to let the light of Christ shine through our life to this world. That we live in this world, but we are not of the world in the context that in friends with the world, that I can have a friend who is unsaved or outside the faith in Christ, but I do not live by the same moral code that is contrary to the Word of God. I am not of it, but I'm in it. I have relationship with people who are in it, but I don't share in their human motivation. So don't take this out of context and think that you can hide in your house and put your light under a bushel. Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the Scripture says, he yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us, but he gives more grace. Say it, more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Check out these next two words. Submit yourselves. Turn to the person next to you. Look at them with gentle eyes. Okay? Gentle eyes, and yet say with sincerity and conviction, submit yourself to God. Bob, look at Mary and tell her with gentle eyes, submit yourself to God. Tell her. Don't think I'm not watching you this morning, boy. Now, I want you to have the same gentle, sincere tone and talk to yourself. By the way, that's okay. Please tell me it's okay because I do it on a regular basis. Okay? Talk to yourself with the same gentleness, but with the same sincerity, and tell yourself, submit yourself to God. And then say your name, Randy. Your name. Submit yourself to God. Talk to yourself. Tell yourself the Word of God. You're okay, grandson. No. Oh, I remember those days when my children were smaller. It's like you don't want to run out, but you can't get to the back door quick enough. You know what I mean? Carry your kid out. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Do you see the contrast there, by the way? Resist the devil and he flees from you. Draw near to God and he draws near to you. Do you see the contrast? That's a sermon all in itself, by the way. But we're going to walk through this morning, and rather than this maybe be a sermon, it's just kind of walking through this passage and, you know, putting up little flags of saying, hey, I need to pay attention to this. I need to pay attention to this. I need to pay attention to this. Resist the devil, he flees from you. Draw near to God, and he draws near to you. Listen, don't let your guilt, your shame, your brokenness keep you from drawing near to God. Draw near to him. He will draw near to you. And you know what? You have a great time with him. You get to know him, and he just begins to speak to us and fix things and do things on our behalf that we can't do for ourselves, or give us a resource that we don't have so that we can put our faith in action and to work, and that things in us begin to change. And in our life, the fruitfulness comes. Transformation is happening. Progress is going on. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. By the way, when I say that, I'm reading his word. I am not standing on this platform looking down on you thinking, okay, all you sinners. So I'm coming down here on the main floor. And though I'm down here, I'm going to sit down just like you and include myself. You sinners. I am not excluded. You and I are people. And I wouldn't want anyone to misunderstand as if I am up here passing judgment on you. This is for me. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. Here's a little side note. You and I are not called to judge the laws of God and his word. Listen, I want to pause here because we can read this and try to make some type of exclusion, like, oh, I'm excluded from that. What God is doing or saying or calling, I exclude myself from it as if I am the judge over his law. I am not the judge over the laws of God. I am supposed to be a doer of the law. One who adheres to the law. I am not here to say, well, I don't agree with that law. You and I can have a habit of that real easily because of this quote-unquote free country that we live in. That there's laws that are passed that we don't like and so we don't think it's right, so I am not going to submit to that law. As if we can be consumers of what laws we like and we don't like, which ones we want to adhere to, which ones we don't. We have to step into a kingdom principle that we, you and I, are not here to judge his law, his word to us, his words of faith, his words of hope, his words that are a decree, the do's, the don'ts, the call to embrace grace and mercy and his love and to extend his love. All of these things that are in his word for us to do and how to live and how to be pure inside and be cleansed and be free to live like we ought regardless of our past. All of those things, they are not to pass under our judgment. They are given to us for life. For goodness, for peace, for wholeness, holiness, to be a light. We're not, you and I, we shouldn't read through this and think, I disagree with that. That doesn't make sense. Oh, that was for then and not for now. Unless it was a cultural principle and we live in a different culture. But we have to grab the spirit of what is being said and apply it to where we are so that we can live at peace with God and with everyone else the best we can. You and I are not to judge the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and one judge. There's only one book. There's only one judge. There's only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save, and the one who is also able to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? We know that there are also principles and times for us to judge. But in the context of this with judging, it talks about as if you are the judge that makes the final judgment. Okay? There are other things that we are called to judge, and that's not part of this message this morning. But I want to call your attention to three very specific things in this passage. Humbling ourselves before God. There are three things that stand out. One is that it talks about our hands. It says, cleanse your hands. In other words, all the actions that you and I do in our life, the actions, the expressions, the work we should do, and the things we should not do. Humility is embracing with our hands the life that He has called us to and the work that He has called us to. If you are a farmer, then work so that you're to the best that your farm can be the absolute best for what's been given you. If you are in the factory, work as one who labors unto the Lord. If you're in the ministry, take hold of the life for which He has called you. And let your hands, our hands, be busy, active, productive in the life and situation in which we find ourselves. I will tell you this, that you will find more joy being occupied with what you have been given, including the things for all of us that we don't care really to do. You know what that is, you know, right? There are some things that we just don't enjoy about our job or life or situation. But you will become more grievous and more idle and lack the performance of fruitfulness and taint the testimony of our life on how we conduct ourselves and what we do or how we work by continually thinking that you should be doing something else and I should have that job or I wish I was over here and I don't, you know, and we just go on and all of a sudden our mind is living somewhere else and it takes away from what we're doing right here. And we will become less fruitful and border unfaithful. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. We just think, hey, don't, you know, your hands, don't kill anybody. How you handle a shovel, a keyboard, how you handle things in your life, tools, the actions in the marketplace, the gestures you give and don't give, all the actions in our life, the things we do, cleanse ourselves. Let those things become holy and right. As we do that, it expresses a humility as my life, my actions, are submitted to God. The next thing that he says, you purify your hearts. See, that's the inside stuff that not everybody sees. Oh, trust me, if it's there for a while, it's going to start coming out in our hands. How we act. The things we do and don't do, the gestures we give and don't give, the love we withhold. Listen, if you're coming to embrace me, I'll spill coffee on my shirt every morning. I don't care. Our hearts have to be purified. And that is our motives, the place where we make decisions, The points where we can catch ourselves judging God's word, whether we think that's a reasonable law or command or promise to us. Purify our hearts. Listen, we all have a history, and our history in this life and the things that happen have tainted our attitude. It has tainted our attitude. It is serious and it is problematic. Because those things, if they continue to reside in here, they will affect what comes out of our hands. And it will affect how we live our life and how we conduct our relationships. Because what happens is we are no longer submitting to God. Who are we submitting to? Ourselves. We are submitting to how we, because of what happened before, and now we've learned to cope, or we say we'll never do that again, or we won't love like this again, or, you know, I'm going to stand up for myself, and I'm going to, and all of this stuff, or I'm no good. I've been treated bad, therefore I'm no good, and I have no value, and, you know, Listen, as I say it like that, you get the picture. I'm not making fun of it. It's very real. And it could be a very powerful thing in a person's life. But now we are living our life according to those feelings, those thoughts, and what's happened to me. And we are submitting to that while we show up at church and praise God. We are to humble and submit ourselves to Him. And as we do, our past should not have a hold on us. We are now living according to His principles and His word and His power and His law and His promises. No matter our past, all His promises are for you. Turn to the person next to you and say, would you take courage? Get out of your funk and believe His promises. Take courage. Get out of your funk. All His promises are for you. For you. You too. What did you get for sitting on the front, kind of the front row or second row? I can reach you. No matter what's happened, honey, in your past, hurt, brokenness, disappointment, misunderstandings, all of His promises and His word, honey, are for you. No matter what you face in school, no matter how friends treat you or don't treat you, don't let those things contaminate the purity of what God has given to you and His love for you. He's got good things for you. So just submit yourself to the Lord. What grade you in? Remind me. Sixth grade. Life is way bigger than middle school. And when you get to high school, life is way bigger than high school. It seems like your whole world. But it's not. Look at all the people that made it through high school. Life's way bigger. It's important, and it's your life, and it's the moment you live in. But you let God influence you. And if you need something, you come see me. All right? Or my wife. Or some of these good people. Parents. All those young sisters, they're watching you. They're watching you. They're a pain in the neck right now, but you know, they're watching you. Cleanse your hands, us sinners. Purify your heart, your attitude, the stuff that's contaminated. Purify it. His blood, His forgiveness, the forgiveness you give to move on in what He has. your mind, that inmost place, your heart, the soulish part of you where it thinks and it grinds and, you know, the feelings and our reasoning. Listen, let His Word influence who you are and who you're going to become each day. So cleanse our hands, purify our hearts. And we kind of think that the list stops and He starts to tell us some other things. But if you continue to move on, it says don't speak evil against each other or against your brothers. Listen, cleanse our hands is part of submitting to God. Purify our hearts means we're submitting to God. And what comes out of our mouth tells us whether we are submitting to God or not. Hands, heart, mouth. Say it. Hands, heart, mouth. The gateway. What are you telling yourself? What are you telling yourself? Let's start right there. What are you telling yourself? What's your self-talk? Is it His word? Is it His promise? Is it His correction? Is it His love? Is it His command? Is it His decree? What's coming out of here? What about when you speak to other people? What is coming out of here? And I'll tell you, if we clean up our actions, our act, submit to God, follow Him, let Him be the influence and the one who steers us, and if we purify our hearts and we decontaminate, I don't know if that's a word, but we'll use it, you know what I mean. Purge all that stuff out, and we fill up with His word and His promise and who He is, and we are purified, and there's purity, you know what's going to start coming out of your mouth. Those things. How are you talking to other people? You know how this works. When we are not purified and we are dealing with frustration from the day and we haven't worked through it and we're just like, our own desires are in there and, oh man, I wish I could and, oh boy, I'd give it to them and, oh, they really agitated me today or, oh, I'm no good and they mistreated me and whatever the story is of the day. And then we come home and somebody in our family says something or does something that just kind of adds to it. And it could be the slightest thing. But we're already kind of wrapped up and wound up tight and bent out of shape or so down in the mouth that they do one thing and all of a sudden stuff comes out of our mouth. Because in that moment, we're living under the submission of the things that have happened and the things that we feel, rather than living under the submission of God, His grace, His love, His power to overcome, His freedom, holiness. See? We're doing that. Now we're living a submitted life. Understand something. Submission is a moment-to-moment lifestyle. There is a moment that we make the decision to be submitted. I choose to be submitted to God. The decision is final. From that moment forward, that decision is not up for debate again. But now, we have to live it out moment-to-moment. And the moment that we fail, turn to the person next to you, I know you, you will fail. I know me, I will fail. That does not mean, oh, that decision we made, now I got to make that decision again, I got to come. No, no, no. You pick yourself up, you let Him pick you up, dust you off, you confess your sin, and you keep going. the decision hasn't changed just because our action and attitude failed. You keep going. You don't go back here and start over. You pick up where you left off. You ever see people run a race? You ever see the bloopers where they trip and fall? It makes you laugh or it makes you go, oh, ooh, I can't watch that again. Do they say, oh, no, I got to go all the way back to the starting line? No. You pick up where you left off. And you do what you last heard from the Lord. And you continue. A submitted life shows up in actions, our hands, purified heart, and the words that come out of our mouth. Listen, you might hold back your words. You think you're doing real good. But the whole gesture thing, body language and contortions of the face and the rolling of the eyes, they're still talking. It's around 90% of what you say is not verbal. I'm looking at some of you right now. I know what you're saying. Wrap it up, Randy. Stand your feet. You don't have to say it out loud. I'm hearing you loud and clear. But I like the way that you do it. Because it's like, yeah, wrap it up. But listen, I do love you, Randy. So I know it comes forth from that. I'm not misunderstanding it. You know, there's a few of you that may not, you know, love me. But, you know, God will bring you around. Not because of me. He's just, you know, it's who he is. Hold these up. Clean hands. Say it. Clean hands.
Clean hands.
Do this. Pure heart.
Pure heart.
Do this.
Now say this.
What I say, what you say, and what you say that isn't verbal. I know, my wife knows what I'm thinking sometimes when I don't say it. Because I told her in a whole nother way. Can I sit down for this, honey? You know, okay? All right? That is not cool. That is not cool. That is not being a good hubby. Yes, dear. No way. Please, tell me more. Hey, don't think she doesn't have her facial expressions either. Now, just a minute. You know. Hey. Clean hands, pure heart. Watch how we talk. It proves it's the fruit, it's the signs of a submitted life to the Lord. Because if you're not submitting to Him, you're submitting to somebody. some voice of the past, submitting to your own feelings. And they will misguide us at times. I want you to be fruitful. I want you to have a contentment. I want you to have a gladness, a joy. If you're digging ditches, let the other ditch diggers be puzzled by how hard you work and the joy that you have. Instead of cursing the supervisor and thinking you should be him. Make yourself ready, wherever we're at, for when the King calls and exalts us to something else, because he has found in us a quality of humility and a submitted life.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.